Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, Elaine, victorious. Over the sin, over death, over all, over us. Victorious, Elaine, victorious.
My Bible. This is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have, and I can do what the scriptures say I can do. I'm going to talk to you today about Jesus is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 30. The apostles gathered themselves together to Jesus and told what had happened with John the Baptist and his death. And he said unto them, come yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. For there many were coming and going, and they had no leisure and not even time to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and people saw them departing. Many knew that ran afoot out of the cities and outran them. And when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Verse 35, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now is the time far past. It's late. Send them away that they should go into the country round about into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And Jesus answered and said, you give them something to eat. And they said, shall we go into town and buy bread and give them to eat? And Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? And they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make them sit down by companies on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up in heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And 2 fish divided among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of those 5 loaves and 2 fishes were about 5,000 men. So that would have been men and others. So I want you to see here that sometimes, and in John's gospel, John's account of that story, it says, what we have is insufficient. They use the word there in the King James, insufficient. And so I want to talk to you about Jesus is more than enough. Amen. And sometimes when we feel insufficient, or when what we have is insufficient, it's not enough, it's not going to meet the need, it's deficient, insufficient. I want to encourage you to not cling to what is insufficient. Amen. But to give what, and I'll just tell you that sometimes, and point number one is here, we have 3 points today and then a poem. No, actually we'll do 3 points and and another bean song. If what you have is not sufficient, it's okay. The enemy will beat you with feelings of insufficiency. When are you ever going to be good enough? When are you ever going to be sufficient? When are you ever going to do it right? And the enemy will convince us, and that's why the scripture is so clear. Paul was so clear, giving the Corinthian church a command, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. It's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves. It's against scripture. It's against God's plan for you and for me to compare ourselves among ourselves. Because the enemy will convince you that Steve Stunning on the other side of the church building, he's doing it way better than you are. Or Sister Sue is much more sanctified, or her prayer life is so much better.
better than yours. And when we begin to make those comparisons, that just that mental turmoil that we create for ourselves, and then the spiritual evaluation that results, and it almost always, one of two things are going to happen when we compare ourselves with one another. One of two things has to happen. Either we're going to find ourselves less than or greater than. And there's no need for any comparison, because you just be the best you can be. And let your brother or your sister be the best them that they can be. And so no comparison is ever called for. So we find ourselves superior, and then that's unrighteous. Or we find ourselves inferior when the comparisons are made. So don't let the devil beat you with not sufficient. Amen. Amen. He is our sufficiency. That's what the Bible says. We are complete in him. He is our sufficiency. I'm not self-sufficient. My sufficiency is found in him. So anyway, not sufficient. But anyway, they had no bread. They didn't have enough. And so sometimes we feel, okay, I couldn't do that. What God's told me to do, I can't do that. I don't have, it's not sufficient. What I have, who I am, not sufficient. So I want you to get that whole idea of the enemy. I don't know if the devil's ever told you this, but he sure has knocked at my door many times and talked to me about not sufficient, not sufficient, or what you have is not sufficient. Go to Palm Springs and start a church. We're celebrating our 34th anniversary. 34 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, go to Palm Springs. I was 22 years old, single, had $100 in a beat-up car. I'd never been to Palm Springs. I didn't know anyone. That's pretty not sufficient. And I got in my car, and the Lord began to orchestrate things once I made the determination to come. And look what the Lord has done. I mean, I met a precious woman who allowed me to use her living room for the first year. And that was a trip. I wish I could take you back for a few moments. And she had a tiny little house. Connie Diaz was her name. Just a tiny house. But that was where we started. And we met in her house on Thursday nights. And over the course of that year, on several occasions, true story, she was the only one that showed up. And she couldn't escape because she lived there. Or she probably wouldn't have been there either. And I just preached to her. Sometimes we have 6 or 8. The most we had was 14. 14 people after 1 year of my excellent work. 14. Not sufficient. But we rented a building on Sundays only. Just, it was $50 a week. And then we ran a little newspaper ad after a year in her living room, and it was $26.50 a week. So our weekly budget was $76.50, because at that time I was still working. And in fact, the first year in her home, we didn't even receive offerings. We just met, prayed and preached and loved each other and ate a lot of good Mexican food. Thank the Lord. I don't think the Lord could have sent me to a white. I didn't have to be a black mom that could fix me some good soul food, or an Italian home, or a Mexican home. I could, white people food. Or Puerto Rican. I could have gone Puerto Rican. I could have gone Puerto Rican. You're a good cook. Okay, back to my sermon. My point is not sufficient, not sufficient, not sufficient. So don't let yourself be arrested by this whole idea of not sufficient. Number two, we have to give, because Jesus called for the loaves and fishes. They said, what we have is not sufficient. There's thousands of people. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not sufficient. But Jesus said, give it to me. So I want to encourage you not to try to work with not sufficient, but give what's not sufficient. That's why sometimes people don't give. They know that what they have is not enough to meet their needs, but they don't want to give because I'm going to cling to what's not sufficient. Where if they would give part the Lord's part to the Lord, he could multiply it like he did the loaves and fishes. And so they're arrested in trying to work with what's not sufficient. They don't give, and it keeps them in the not sufficient world. We have to give what is not sufficient ourselves, our stuff, whatever it calls for. What's not sufficient that we're trying to work with, we need to get it into the hands of Jesus. And so they gave their not sufficient to Jesus. And Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes, and there was organization and structure and all that happened there. How many of you know when Jesus turned water into wine, he asked his disciples to bring the water pots? Water pots are not wine casks. They're not sufficient. Remember the marriage feast at Cana of Galilee, and they ran out of wine, and Jesus' mother came and said, "They're out of wine." And he said, "Well, okay." And then so she turned to the disciples and said, turned to some servants there and said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And so somehow the Holy Spirit then engaged in Jesus, launched his first miracle, was the miracle of turning water into wine. And so he called for some water pots. Water pots are not sufficient for wine making. Are y'all with me? And then he said, bring me the garden hose. I'm bringing it in up in today because they didn't have garden hoses back then. Just so you know, I know that. So if you can imagine just big water pots, and here's the hose, and they're turn it on because we're... But we don't want to spill any because we're going to get fined. Only flush the toilet every two or three, you know, whatever. Oh. So they're filling up the water pots. A water hose is not sufficient for winemaking. But Jesus took what was not sufficient and made the best wine for the marriage. So Jesus will take what is not sufficient if we can give it by faith into his hands and make it more than sufficient, more than enough. Because when the miracle of multiplication of loaves and fishes was all said and done, they took up more than they had given. When one of the gospels says it was a little boy had it. And he gave his loaves and fishes. And when the miracle was done, there were 12 baskets full. More than they started. The multiplication resulted in more than they started with. Isn't that amazing? I love that story. Let's turn to a couple of verses here. We are going to conclude in water into wine, by the way, is John's Gospel chapter 2. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll wrap it up here because I do want to hear a little bit more from the Beans and let them minister to us some more. They have their CDs out there, by the way, and I encourage you to support them in that way by buying their music and take them home with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we're going to look at one other verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin at verse 8. Where Paul's talking about this messenger of the enemy that buffets him. And he said, "I asked the Lord about it, and God said, 'My grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore,'" verse 9, "most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Wow. And so when you're going through a tough time, you need to give that to the Lord, because that's when, in your weakness, you're your strongest, because our reliance and dependency is on him. So that empowers us to say, "It's all right, God, you go," because he's going to take what's insufficient, and he's going to take what's possibly painful, and he's going to take what the enemy is bringing against you, and his grace is sufficient. Amen. His grace is sufficient. You might be insufficient, and the stuff might be insufficient, but His grace is sufficient to see you through to victory, because we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. You are by nature an overcomer. Whatever is born of God overcomes, 1 John says. I'm going to come back to that. So everyone say, I'm more than a conqueror. All right, let's look at one last verse, and then I'm going to come back to that. I'll end with a story. John's Gospel, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And this is John's account of the multiplication of loaves and fishes. But in John's Gospel, chapter 6, after the miracle of the loaves and fishes, like I said, Mark, chapter 6. I'm sorry. I thought they'd taken that verse out of my Bible that I was going to look at there, Mark, chapter 6. Mark 6, I won't read the whole context here, but you know the story. And so verse 43 says, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and the fish, and they that did eat were about 5,000. And then Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship, to go to the other side. They sent them away, departed to a mountain to pray. And evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, here's Jesus walking on the water, they supposed it had been a spirit. They cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked to them and said, "It be of good cheer, it's I, don't be afraid." And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And it's important for us, when fear tries to creep into our lives, that we remember the past miracles, the past faithfulness of God. They had just had this great experience, Jesus multiplying loaves and fishes, but fear gripped them because they didn't think about the miracle that they had just seen. And we must always rehearse in our minds and encourage ourselves about God's past faithfulness and how he's... Hey, let's be honest. I don't know about you, but I've had days when I wonder, am I ever going to make it forward? But here we all are. We've made it. We've made it. So we have to rehearse and recall and thank the Lord for and be grateful for and set our mind on and meditate on and ponder about and consider the past miracles and the faithfulness of God, so that when trouble comes, it doesn't grip us with fear. So what you are, what you have, what may be around you, what may be at your, you have access to, is not sufficient. But whatever that not sufficient is, we give it to the Lord. Our own insufficiency, whatever it is, we give it to Jesus. We need to get it into the hands of Jesus, who once he touches it, makes it into more than enough. And then when trouble comes in the future, we have to remember what the Lord did. Oh yeah, let's talk about it. Let's celebrate it. Let's remind ourselves. Let's think on his good faithfulness. You're more than a conqueror. Okay, so here we go. And by the way, the name of God, El Shaddai, and I'm not going to take time, but El Shaddai means the God who's more than enough. Amen. The all-sufficient one. Is that good? Let me tell you just some of the meanings. All-sufficient one, the all-bountiful one, the God of provision, a God of sustenance, one mighty to nourish. El Shaddai, more than enough. He is our sufficiency. So you're more than a conqueror. Everyone say, I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm more than a conqueror.
So I love the story of Evander Holyfield. And he had heart issues and was precluded from boxing. I don't know if you remember back in the day. And they wouldn't let him box because of this heart issue. And he went to a Benny Hinn meeting. And regardless of what you think about Benny Hinn prayed for him. And he went back again for another physical and was healed, and they let him box again. And I think it was subsequent, if I remember correctly, subsequent to that miracle of healing of his heart, that he fought, Holyfield fought Tyson and got his ear bit off. And and won the World Heavyweight Championship. And I love that story. And I love that miracle, and what a declaration. I remember one sportscaster mocking before the medical people had approved him to fight again. Bob Costas mocking. Evander has been given the Benny Hinn certificate of good health, and laughed and mocked. And then the physicians confirmed it. So I don't know what he did then. I hope he apologized, but I don't think so. So here's Evander in the ring, fighting, taking punches, having his ear bit off, and he wins the fight. And I didn't watch the fight, and so I don't know how round by round, I couldn't give you the commentary, but he won. And he held up his hand in the ring and named him champion. And he was a conqueror. Had overcome all of those challenges and obstacles, and he was the conqueror. And they gave him his check, tens of millions of dollars. And he went home to Sister Holyfield. And she batted her eyes a few times. Oh, Evander. So proud of you. And he handed over that check to her. And she's more than a conqueror. He's a conqueror. He's the conqueror. He's the conqueror, but she's more than a conqueror because she didn't even have to get in the ring and she gets the benefits, and that's exactly what Jesus has done for you and for me. He fought the battle. He was the one who was beaten. He was the one who was flogged. He was the one who was spat upon. He was the one whose ear got bit off, as it were. He was the one that took the stripes. He was the one that took the beating that in our place. And then he took all of that as a conqueror. Death couldn't hold him. Death, hell, and the grave had to give him up. He's risen from the dead. He's alive and well. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, where he makes intercession for you and for me. He is our conqueror. But he gave us the blessings and the benefits of that victory and gave it to us in the form of our inheritance in him. And we are therefore more than conquerors through him who loves us. Let's give him one more praise. Thank you, Lord. He's more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. Get him what's you're not enough and get it into his hands and trust him to multiply it and make it more than enough. And then remember the miracles when you have other challenges in life, because they seem to be pretty relentless as we journey with the Lord. The enemy doesn't give up, but thank God we are more than conquerors.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.